You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You get 20% off your next order. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. Happy, 72 hours until the Timberwolves, roughly, give or take 72 hours until the Wolves' first preseason game. The training camp is, I guess, technically roughly half over now already. The Timberwolves have been, they have, I think, their full complement of players except for Naz Reid and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson related to COVID-19 protocols. Juancho Hernan Gomez practiced for the first time this morning per media reports that are out there. And Timberwolves basketball, it's going to happen. It's going to happen this Saturday. It looks like it's going to be on TV locally. And so if you have League Pass, my understanding, at least my hope is so that I can watch it, it'll be broadcast so that we can actually view some live Timberwolves basketball for the first time in 9 months. Yes, it's the preseason. And yes, the Timberwolves will not have their regular rotation in place yet, obviously, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Today, a couple housekeeping things off the top to cover related to the organization, an award that a couple members of the organization won. And then I want to talk more about James Harden. Spent a lot of time talking about the Harden situation, the Rockets situation as a whole on Tuesday's show. And I want to kind of dive back in there's been more Timberwolves Harden conversation out there by some folks, including, our own at, I'm claiming him for the Locked On Network. John Hollinger wrote at The Athletic a little bit about the Timberwolves as a potential suitor. And there's been just kind of this weird argument on Timberwolves Twitter, it seems, among the various blogs and media members about whether or not this is a smart idea to pursue a Harden trade. So I want to talk a little bit more about that and unpack it a bit more and give kind of my verdict on where I stand with that. And then also ESPN Player Rank went ahead and did players 11 through 49 was released on Wednesday morning. So I want to talk about where Karl-Anthony Towns is ranked compared to where he's been ranked in past years and also the players ranked around him. So we'll finish today's show by talking about that. All right. Before you get started, as always, a quick reminder, you can subscribe to the show everywhere you get your podcasts. That includes iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. The first bit of Timberwolves news that I want to talk about is, I just thought this was important to mention, that Sports Business Journal, which is a well-known industry publication in the sports business world, SBJ, picked 79 individuals who, in their words, quote, during an unprecedented year, set the standard as leaders in sports business. And there were three individuals on that list who are related to the Timberwolves and Lynx organizations. And that's Glenn Taylor, the Wolves CEO, Ethan Kasson, or I should say CEO of both the Timberwolves and Lynx, Ethan Kasson, and Lynx forward Maya Moore, as members on this list, mostly related to their reaction to the George Floyd killing at the end of May. And so it's largely about that, also about some of the Glenn Taylor, his family donating up to $1 million in pandemic relief for hungry families in the Twin Cities. Also, the Pack the Vote campaign that the Timberwolves were part of. And then Maya Moore with some of her work related to the criminal justice reform issue. Shout out to all them. Awesome, awesome honor. Great that they were all recognized. And there's a full press release about it on the Timberwolves website if you want to read more into it. But really cool that there's three members of the same franchise who were featured in something like this. So I thought it was important to mention that here off the top of the show. All right, let's go ahead and transition right into talking about James Harden here off the top, because this is a topic that I feel like we could talk about for days. And I guess this is literally now my second day talking about this topic. Basically what's changed since the show was recorded on Tuesday, Harden has now reported to the Houston Rockets camp here. At least he's in the facility. I think he's still going through some COVID protocols and it sounds like he's not officially holding out. He basically just was away for an extra day or two, plus had some COVID related issues that he had to address with not following protocols leading into training camp. So the Rockets certainly aren't out of the woods just in terms of getting him on the court, but things are trending in that direction. The Harden topic is a hot one around the league. So, I'll start. If you didn't listen to Tuesday's show, please go back and listen to it, first of all. But the cliff notes of what I said were basically the Timberwolves have to consider doing what they can to acquire James Harden. They're obligated to. He's a top five player in the league. pretty clearly at this point still. And the Wolves don't have that many assets to acquire him either. Right now, it would have to include D'Angelo Russell. It would have to be Anthony Edwards. Other contracts aren't tradable until later. I guess Ricky Rubio's becomes tradable. Obviously, he's not the centerpiece of that deal. But the way that the Wolves roster is put together, they don't have a ton of assets right now that they could trade. I also made the case on Tuesday that I don't know that it's the smartest thing for the Wolves to turn around after doing what they did to put the roster in the position that it's in now, to then simply flip D'Angelo Russell in a trade for James Harden. I'm not saying that it's not, because again, the Wolves have to explore trading for a top five player in the league, and James Harden, it's not close. He's better than D'Angelo Russell, obviously. But these decisions aren't made entirely in a vacuum. So I think it's worth the conversation as to whether or not it's something the Wolves should pursue, or at least seriously pursue. So I want to get into that. There's some debate going around on Timberwolves Twitter. There's obviously the side, the argument of who cares about everything else? You acquire James Harden if you can acquire James Harden. But again, this isn't a vacuum. The other side of it is people that really want to see the Russell Towns best friends duo and everybody succeed and, do it our way type of a thing, which is great. Am I trying to have it both ways in talking through this? Kind of, because I think you have to have this conversation. You have to seriously consider doing what you can to acquire one of the best five players on the planet, who would immediately make Towns, if he's not a top 20 player, he would make him a top 15 player, top 12 player immediately as well, playing with James Harden. I mean, think about how good Towns was playing with Jimmy Butler. And obviously Butler and Harden are different players, but the point being, playing with another super, a bona fide superstar would elevate Towns' game significantly, obviously. But the vacuum thing is important because the Wolves have Russell under contract for 4 years. They would have Harden for 2 years. And I mean, even if the Wolves were to win a title in the next 2 years, which obviously, you know, if you're guaranteed to win a title, you don't even ask what. You do whatever it takes to do to win that title, obviously. But say that they were to win a title, there's no guarantee James Harden stays in Minneapolis in 2 years. In fact, it's likely he wouldn't. I mean, Kawhi Leonard didn't stay in Toronto, right? And they won a title. That's the most recent obvious example. Anthony Davis would be an example of somebody who won a title and stayed. So if you're guaranteed to win a title, you do it. You don't ask questions. You take your 2 years of Harden, you trade in your 14 games of D'Angelo Russell, or I guess 12 games or whatever he played last year, and you get your title, obviously. But you're not guaranteed a title. You get 2 years of James Harden, maybe a salty James Harden if he isn't pumped about getting traded to Minnesota. And you have Towns, who already has butted heads a little bit, at least, with another superstar. The Wolves would immediately be one of the best four teams in the Western Conference with James Harden and Karl-Anthony Towns. There's no question about it. They would immediately become a legitimate title contender. For that reason, and that reason alone, the Timberwolves absolutely have to have this conversation with the Houston Rockets. And I'm sure they've already placed a call. Guaranteed, Gerson Rosas has placed a call to Houston to talk this through and gauge if the Rockets are willing to listen, which they have to be at this point, and what they would be looking to get back from the Timberwolves. So what I want to do next is talk about what John Hollinger said about this possibility, what some other folks are saying around the Twitter sphere about the possibility of the Wolves trying to trade for James Harden, and then my ultimate take on this and where I think the Wolves go from here related to the James Harden scenario, because I think it's going to be an evolving situation over the next several months. I don't think this is the last time James Harden was traded, it was a Saturday before the season surprise deal that nobody was expecting when he went from Oklahoma City to Houston. So who knows? I don't think it's likely. I think this gets dragged out a bit further. So I want to talk about that here next. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar, no joke. It's new and improved, new look, new logo, new taste. It was already fantastic. There were 12 delicious original flavors. It's even more delicious now. 6 brand new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. All Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and again, tastes exactly like a candy bar. Built Bar is great if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight, or maybe maintain your weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are all low calorie, low sugar, high in protein and high in fiber, and perfect if you're on a keto diet. Right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All All right. The rest of the week on the show, we are, of course, going to get into the preseason. We'll do like kind of a full preview of Wolves Grizzlies on Friday, which seems silly to do for the preseason. But I mean, I haven't broken down a Timberwolves matchup in 9 months. So, of course, we're going to break this down a little bit, talk about the Grizzlies, talk about what we may or may not see in the first preseason game on Saturday. So that's coming on Friday. Thursday, it depends on if we get any more James Harden, I guess, scuttlebutt to talk about. That'll be Thursday's show. But obviously, training camp update and anything else that, you know, that we're looking ahead to. All right, so back to talking about James Harden. Let me read what John Hollinger wrote. Of course, John Hollinger of the fantastic Hollinger and Duncan show podcast here on the Locked On NBA Network. He also was part of this roundtable at The Athletic where the NBA insiders all proposed non-Philly and non-Brooklyn locations for Harden to be traded to. So David Aldridge, of course, also of NBA TV and NBA.com, has the New Orleans Pelicans as his wildcard team. Joe Vardon picked the LA Clippers. Sam Amick picked the LA Clippers as well. Hollinger picks the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. Of course, The Athletic is subscription only, so if you have a subscription, check it out. But he says Minnesota. And here's the kind of the cliff, or I'll read part of this verbatim. So he says, sending Harden would obviously reunite him with Rosas, Sasha, and Gupta. The Timberwolves are set up to play Harden's preferred style with an ideal pick and pop partner in Towns and a lot of role players who don't really need the ball and aren't good enough to demand it anyway. Those are Hollinger's words, of course. The Wolves have the obvious salary match in D'Angelo Russell, who would allow the Rockets to replace Harden's shot creation until whatever they're doing happens next. Adding Jarrett Culver to Russell's enough salary, the Wolves would probably throw in Ed Davis to get out of the luxury tax. And then he asks, is Culver and Russell enough? Of course not. The Wolves would have to haggle over whether or not Edwards is included, whether the Rockets need unprotected firsts in 24 and 26. And is that too rich? And then here's the part that I'm trying to get at. Hollinger says, quote, all that might be too rich a price for a smaller market that has a decent chance of losing Harden for nothing in 2022, not to mention Towns in 24. But if the Wolves really want to go all in on 2 years of a Towns-Harden partnership in their prime, they have a pretty clear avenue toward doing so. So if you hear nothing about my take on this situation, hear this. And this is the part that I hope people pull out of this and not that I don't want the Wolves to trade for James Harden. Here's what I think should happen and actually what I think will happen. The Wolves are going to remain in the running for James Harden as long as this thing gets dragged out. They're going to call. I'm sure, as I said earlier, I guarantee Gerson Rosas has already called the Houston Rockets and had a conversation with their front office about a James Harden deal, what they're looking for. The Wolves don't have the best assets to offer. There's a reason why they're not considered one of the front runners to try and get him. Obviously, I guess Harden said he wanted to go to Brooklyn or Philly, so that's why those are the first names being listed. But the Wolves don't have the same number of assets unless they literally send like every first round pick they can over the next few years, plus Culver, and obviously the big piece being D'Angelo Russell. In a vacuum, you take James Harden over D'Angelo Russell and Jarrett Culver and even Anthony Edwards and a couple of the first round picks every 10 times out of 10, every day of the week, right? I mean, there's no question about it. James Harden is an MVP. He's a top five player. With Towns, he's just an absolute perfect fit. And it would give the Wolves a legitimate chance at winning a championship. They'd be one of the top five teams in the league immediately with Harden and Towns. No question about it. The problem is that it's not occurring in a vacuum. And there's the main concern is obviously, as Hollinger said, Harden can walk in 2 years. And if he does, pretty unlikely that unless they had a great backup plan in place, Towns probably isn't re-upping 2 years after that. And if you don't win the title this year in a weird year, who knows what's going to happen? Do you mortgage your future for effectively a weird year and a normal year with James Harden, Towns, and whatever else is left on your roster? Maybe. I mean, that's why it's still worth a conversation, right? Because Harden is that good. I just don't know that that's the move that I make. Now, Rosas is a bit of a risk taker. He's certainly he wants to trade, right? Like he wants to be out there making trades, be active, be star hunting, which is another reason why I think this is a real conversation. I don't think the Wolves will ultimately get James Harden for a number of reasons, but I think the biggest one is their combination of assets won't be enough. The salary swap, I guess, is nice. Do the Rockets want 4 years of D'Angelo Russell or do they just want to bottom out? Do they want to take, I mean, I guess they could take Russell and then flip him elsewhere and keep all the picks the Wolves give him. I mean, that's always possible too. But I just think there's too many other suitors and I think the timing isn't quite right for the Wolves. Now, 12 months from now, if James Harden's still miserable and still on the Rockets, do the Wolves, and say the Wolves, you know, have a 500 record and miss the playoffs this year, losing a play-in game, and it's becoming clear that Russell and Towns aren't, you know, going to quite be the perfect match that everybody hoped that they would be, which is a real possibility, then yeah, you obviously make this trade. If it's for 1 year of James Harden and you don't have to give up Edwards or whatever, maybe it is you're just giving up Harden or you're giving up Russell and two picks in Culver instead of three picks plus Edwards or whatever the price would be following this year, then you make that trade and you take the 1 year of Harden and Towns in what should hopefully be a normal year, you know, have a packed target center, have a great season. And if you have an outstanding season, then you can still make your pitch to keep Harden with Karl Anthony Towns. And you still have three more years of Towns after this year. So then, or after that year, or yeah, following this year, I should say. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a different conversation, but I think the uncertainty of this season combined with the Wolves' relative lack of assets that will be really attractive for a team that's probably going to be rebuilding, unless they're convinced that they can rebuild around Russell and or Culver and these picks, which I think is pretty unlikely, then again, this isn't a vacuum. At the same time, the obvious counterpoint is that the Timberwolves are not a free agent destination. Rosas loves, he knows that if he's going to gain another superstar, it's going to be through trade. It's very likely not going to be through free agency. So if this is his chance, this is the moment that Daryl Morey was always looking for, right? Is when a top 10, top five players available on the market, you push all your chips in the middle of the table and you get that asset as soon as you can and you win and you figure out the rest later. And Morey was great at doing that in the sense that he was able to run it back and make the playoffs and truthfully be a contender in the Western Conference every year while kind of shuttling through these different stars. Once he had Harden, I mean, think of all the 1Bs that they had on their team. I guess there's kind of a range of guys from, you know, Dwight Howard to Chris Paul to Russell Westbrook. This list of players that the Rockets kind of cycled through to try and find the right mix with Harden. That's basically what Rosas would be doing, is he'd already be resetting this by jettisoning Russell to get Harden. And then you've turned Wiggins into Russell into Harden, you know, with a number of other assets along the way. And that's more than incremental improvement. That makes you it takes you from the third worst team in the league to a top five team basically overnight. And I truthfully believe that they would be a top five team with Towns and Harden. And so, you know, who are the Timberwolves to look that opportunity in the face and say no? But the reason why they would is for the reasons that Hollinger laid out, that you're very likely renting Harden for 2 years, one of which is a weird 72 game season with Harden, who knows, you know, what kind of shape he's in and how he spent the last few weeks of his offseason, some of those other things. Is that a risk that you make when you feel like you're making progress? And again, like I said before, can you flip Russell in 12 months or 9 months or whatever? Sure. Would they flip Edwards and Culver in 6 months if the opportunity is right? Absolutely they will. But hitting reset on a Towns and other star pairing at this moment would be risky. It certainly would be. So all that to say, this is a ton of fun to talk about and really fun to dream about James Harden and Karl Anthony Towns in Timberwolves jerseys together, but it's pretty unlikely to happen for all of the reasons we've already talked about. And, you know, Harden's far more likely to either not be traded or go to Philly or Brooklyn than he is to come to Minnesota. That said, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Timberwolves are just as good of an option in terms of trade partners as a team like New Orleans or the Clippers, you know, some of those other teams that the Athletic threw out there. So certainly something to keep an eye on. And there's an interesting debate to be had over how much you mortgage to get a deal like this done. Obviously, we'll continue to monitor this and talk about it as the weeks go by. I really don't think this gets solved quickly, but we'll find out. All right. Next, what I want to do is talk about the ESPN ranking, the player rank, and where Karl Anthony Towns came in this year's edition and what my thoughts are on said ranking. Ladies and gentlemen, the wait is almost over. The 2020-21 NBA season is almost here, and the Locked On NBA podcast will get you ready with a special week of shows beginning December 14th. That is next Monday. Get previews of every team division by division from all 30 of our Locked On local experts, including yours truly. Plus, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so on Tuesday's show, we talked about D'Angelo Russell and Ricky Rubio's ranking in ESPN's player rank. And Rubio was, I think he was 93. Russell was 69. I thought they were both a little bit low. Today, they've released numbers 11 through 50. And Karl-Anthony Towns is indeed in that range. He came in at number 23. Compared to last year where he was number 18. So he slid five spots. And quickly, I'll read off, I complained yesterday on the show about how they didn't make it easy for us to see past rankings of players. I'm sure that was intentional. I wanted to shout out the blog Punch Drunk Wolves had on Twitter. They pulled what the past rankings were for Towns on this list. And so I'll just read off what they tweeted. But basically, he slid every year over the past few years in that ranking. So I mentioned last year he was 23rd. Go back a couple of years in 2019, or excuse me. So last year he was 18th. This year he's 23rd. The year before in 2018, he was 17th. 2017, he was 12th. Back in 2016, he was ranked 11th in the NBA, the 11th best player in the league. And that was before he'd even made an all-star team. Believe it or not. Obviously, he finished that season really strong. He was heading into a pairing with, or I guess still not quite yet with Jimmy Butler at that point. But he went from 11th to 12th to 17th to 18th and now to 23rd on the list. And it's interesting because he had his best couple of years ever. Offensively, he was last year until he got hurt. He was having just a crazy year. But the combination of the defensive issues and the lack of team success, short of the Jimmy, you know, setting aside the Jimmy Butler year, that's what's kind of harmed his overall profile on a national level. And it's understandable, certainly. And then obviously the injury last year certainly didn't help. But look at some of the other players that are around him in the rankings. So players he beat out, Pascal Siakam is at number 24, which is actually down from 22 a year ago. Kyrie Irving is down to 25 from 11. Obviously, he had plenty of injury issues last year. Rudy Gobert is at 26. That's down from 14. So a bigger, you know, more than twice as big of a fall for Gobert on this list than Towns. CJ McCollum went from 13 to 27. Brandon Ingram improved all the way up to 28 from 56. Trae Young was basically stagnant at 29. Kyle Lowry at 30. So that's your top 30. Players right in front of Towns, Bradley Beal went from 19 to 22. Jamal Murray improved from 27 to 21. Paul George is at 20. He's down from 10. Zion Williamson went from 42 to 19. And Donovan Mitchell also passed Towns from 20 to 18. So of these players, I think ranking Zion ahead of Towns based on what, 22 games or something like that for Zion Williamson, it's a bit aggressive. Also putting Jamal Murray ahead of Towns. I understand that. I think without Murray's bubble performance, which I understand you can't take out of the equation, but without his, you know, 50 points in game seven of the series against the Jazz, or excuse me, game six against the Jazz, you know, those obviously are the last memories that fans have of Jamal Murray. The last memories of Towns were him having an injured wrist and playing one game with D'Angelo Russell. So I think putting Murray at 21 over Towns at 23 is a questionable, to say the least. Bradley Beal at 22, I don't think you can put him ahead of Towns, but he's in that same neighborhood in terms of, you know, stars who haven't yet taken that superstar, that true superstar step in terms of team success that they're leading the way on. Beal has not done that with Washington. Towns has not done that in Minnesota. So I get that. Overall, it's understandable to me that he's ranked 23rd. I think he should be in that 15 to 18 range more accurately because of, I mean, if he doesn't get hurt, he's a top five offensive player in the entire league. There's no question about it. And if he can be decent defensively, that makes him a top 10 player overall. And that's obviously a big if because he hasn't been very good defensively throughout his career. But to put him down at 23 seems low to me. To put Zion at, what did I say? He's at 19 or 18 or something. He's at 19. Very aggressive. Devin Booker's all the way up at 17. Again, the 8-0 Suns run in the bubble certainly helped that ranking. Beyond that, it's hard to complain too much. Bam Adebayo obviously went from 81 to 13. That's understandable. Jimmy Butler's all the way up at 12. He was actually ranked below Towns last year. He was at 21, whereas Towns was at 18. Jason Tatum jumped all the way to 11 from 35. We don't have the top 10 yet, but I get Towns being ranked behind some of those guys. Certainly, I think something like, you know, 17, 18, 19 fits better for Towns than 23. You know, we've got to see some team success. We've got to see Towns lead the way and some team success. We've got to see the Russell and Towns pairing work a little bit better to feel good about ranking him much higher than that. So again, like I said on Tuesday's show, tough to get too worked up about the ranking of Towns or Rubio or Russell. I think they're all a little bit low, but not egregiously so. All right, that's all we have for you on today's show. Tomorrow, probably a lot less James Harden talk, unless something else comes out in the next day or so. But it's just such a, it's not every day that the Timberwolves are mentioned as a potential suitor. I mean, it's been since, Kyrie Irving named the Timberwolves as one of his four trade destinations back when he was with Boston, before he was traded to Cleveland when Butler was still in Minnesota. I mean, that was the last time we've talked about a player who was potentially a superstar who had a real possibility of being traded to the Timberwolves. And how real is the possibility? I think it's still pretty pie in the sky, but again, if it's a possibility, if there's a legitimate person out there like a John Hollinger who thinks that it could happen, then it's absolutely worth a discussion. So it'll be something we keep an eye on and obviously talk about as more information potentially comes out. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, today's episode was brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On. You get 20% off your next order. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we'll catch you next time.